You're listening to the Empower Series, the first Middle Eastern mental health and wellness podcast by Ali Salama.
Well, thank you, Kes, for joining on the show. It's an honor to have you. I still remember the first time we sort of touched base, and it just hasn't changed since then. I think ever since I followed your art, I've been always inspired to get you on the show, because I think the first time we touched base, I do remember you had a very personal story to share with regards to mental health. So I always start this podcast series by saying, if you can introduce yourself to the audience and talk a bit more about what mental health really means to you.
Yeah, awesome. It's great to be here. I'm Kes Ahmed. I'm a filmmaker, and mental health probably is, as an element, it's the biggest kind of defining factor as to who I am and what I'm going to do in the future, what I've done as well, actually. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
In what way? How has that defined you, though?
Well, it's given me a completely new direction to life. I mean, I was brought up in a corporate environment. My family owned a business. I went to university, took over the business, and that was my life. And it was just not a life that I was happy living. It was kind of a reiteration on the fact that money does not buy you happiness. So I just had to completely change my career direction. And I mean, now, I feel like I came up with a personal solution to depression, because since I've employed like this method of living, I've not felt depressed as such. Mm. So, which has been great. Obviously, coming from like an all-time low of being suicidal, trying it, failing, and just having nothing to live for, basically, to now just not ever going back into that same dark space again. Wow. It's just been completely life-changing.
And how have you been able to do that? If you don't mind a bit, you know, diving deep into
Of course. I think I've always been like a little bit of a rebel, and I feel like that's played a big, big part in this, because there's always a social narrative, depending on which society you're from. I mean, I'm from England, so there's a social narrative on how to deal with depression. You get help, you seek therapy, you talk about it, you do things like this, you try and correct the hormonal imbalance naturally if you can. If not, you use medication. Now, that's the general social narrative across the world. Mm. Am I correct in saying that? So I just completely ignored it, like 100% ignored it. Yeah. And I just came to an acceptance one day that this is me. I will feel absolutely horrible some days, and that's absolutely fine. I mean, it's normal. And another thing that kind of helped me into acceptance was that I realized the benefits of my depression. I mean, I was in my room for months, probably, let's put the months together and say years on end, just thinking about things, self-reflecting. Not, at the time that I was in depression, it was a very negative self-thinking. It was like, I'm not good enough to do this. There was a lot of self-doubt. Mm. I just realized that I have all this brain power now. I'm very good at thinking things. Why not apply that thought process to problem solving, or to issues I'm having, or to like actually productive things? So that's exactly what I did. I set up a business, and I just, every time I found myself thinking, I mean, I'm pretty sure if you've been through depression, or anyone who's been through depression knows the kind of dark thinking I'm talking about, when you're in your room and you're just talking to yourself about what a miserable life you're living, right?
And it goes to nowhere.
It goes to like even darker thinking, to be honest. So every time I found myself having those thoughts, I would consciously then apply, you know, I would just like try and solve a problem that I'm having, or I would, you know, just utilize that time to just, you know, focus on an issue, and it worked really productively. I was able to, you know, think really deeply into some business structures and things like that, and really utilize that time properly. The social narrative will never tell you to do that.
Yeah.
And then, but that doesn't stop you from feeling bad. So that just makes your life a little bit more productive, and I guess you do feel better. I think the turning point in me feeling better about myself as a human was self-growth.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most difficult things to initiate when you're dealing with depression, because you have simply no energy. But once you start, you can't stop. So I picked up the guitar, I started learning that, and I had all these outlets. I started painting and stuff like that, and I just kept getting better and better. And these small individual things just made me feel better about me, in that I now have more abilities, I can do more things, I'm more creative. I picked up a camera, I started filmmaking only 2 years ago, but I really obsessed myself with everything that I did. Yeah. And that self-growth just made me so much more confident in myself. And I still suffer from social anxiety and things like that, where I can't have a conversation with someone. And the bottom line is, I'm not trying to change that anymore. Like, I've accepted I have certain strengths that put me on a global scale now, just because, you know, I've been approached by global entities to come and do some marketing for them, do some filmmaking for them. So I recognize the brilliance in that. And if that means that I'm now not able to kind of, you know, be in social environments and party like everyone else, like, that's a sacrifice I guess I'm willing to make.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I mean, I guess acceptance, as difficult as it sounds, was the solution here. Acceptance and growth.
Well, it's not difficult. Here's the thing, like, with all what you're saying, you're typically, I mean, whether it be a guitar, whether it be painting, it's life, right? All these things give you a form of life, and hence why you feel alive, and hence why it just, it's a rush that you can't stop. And here's the thing that we just really want to put out there is baby steps, start something.
Absolutely.
And don't sweat the small things at all. I mean, you don't have to, some people, you know, won't do things unless they do have or add meaning, with a goal or something of that sort to their life. And it's never really sometimes about playing the guitar to be the best guitarist or judging yourself. It's sometimes because you simply want to hear the, you know, hear a couple of melodies that you string that perhaps mean nothing to you. But
yeah, absolutely. For me, it was just about growing. It was just about learning new things. I realized in my previous job, although the money was in and everything was good and my family life was good, I was not growing. And I feel like that is one of the biggest kind of psychologically detrimental things to stop growth, because biologically we're designed to grow. From birth, all we do is grow.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I mean, we have to balance the physicality and then the psychology of everything that we do. I truly believe that. So if we're biologically we're physically growing but not mentally growing, it's, you know, at the same rate, it does, like, you know, it's a sad, you just go into a sad place. So I think learning new skills, this is why I think in our first conversation I talked about the importance of travel in resolving my mental health issues. Yeah. Every time I went somewhere, I learned something beautifully new. I learned, you know, new cultures, I saw new people, especially in the Arab side of the world. Like, I mean, Egypt, for example, and then you look at Dubai, two Arab-speaking countries, so different. So completely different in culture, in
way they speak to people.
Yeah, bro. And like, I would never have thought this before. So when I went there, I learned it. I met new people. I felt good about the whole thing. And, you know, when I started traveling first, I just completely forgot about everything in life. And I was like, I had a blank slate. So when I started, like, learning the guitar, for example, I did it whilst I was away from home. I was away from that environment. I traveled somewhere new where everything was completely different. My psychology was bombarded with this new culture. It was just all refreshing. And then I was in a good headspace to actually take that first step to just bettering myself in one way or another.
So what would you tell millennials today, if they aren't able to get into that headspace? How would you tell them to, you know, break state, get out of that headspace and to figure out that outlet that you figured out for you, which was travel? What's an action that you would tell millennials to simply just break state, do that?
It would 100% be self-actualize, but away from the environment. Because, I mean, if you're in a negative environment, not even a negative environment, but an environment that nurtures negativity. So the negative thoughts that you're having, even if your environment's not negative, it's allowed you to have those thoughts. It's allowed those thoughts to go on. Get out of there, whether it means kind of leaving your parents for a month or 2 months or something, just get out and learn something new. That, you know, it'll be great for your kind of self-confidence. I think a lot of depression, one of the kind of outcomes of depression is low self-confidence, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I guess it kind of goes in line with anxiety as well. But yeah, I mean, how do you really increase self-confidence? I mean, you obviously feel not self-confident for a reason.
Exactly.
Something, and perhaps it's that, you know, that lack of growth. Perhaps if you know, you can kind of analyze your life and identify that you have not been growing over the past few years at a rate that makes you happy, try it.
What about first parenting? Remove yourself. What about, like, the environment that we... Is there a message that we want to put out to parents out there?
Yeah, definitely, man. I absolutely despise the current type of parenting that's globally happening. I mean, to bring a life into this world is such a huge responsibility. And if you get the first few years right, that is, you're probably saving a child of a lifetime of misery. And parents, unfortunately, I don't think it's the fault of the parents. Most parents want to do the best for their children, right? Mm. But they don't have the knowledge. There should be some form of kind of psychological implementation on those parents where they have to learn certain things about child psychology, not about parenting, not about loving, just child psychology. Certain actions will really damage the child's future.
Yeah.
Could. Yeah. And parents nowhere, there is no obligatory course for parents. You know, let's say I was the president right now. Yeah. That is one of the first things I would do. It's maybe too late for our generation, but then the future generations.
Mm. I think what you're saying goes hand in hand with emotional intelligence. I think there has to be some sort of system for that, right? How to regulate bringing a child into this world is the same. I mean, it goes parallel with how to regulate your own emotions, right? Because if you can understand emotions, you can understand dealing with people, you can understand children. So we're not going to run in circles around, but we're going to just say that people need to damn well understand that intelligence, IQ is different from EQ. And I think that what really makes people succeed in this world, having fulfillment and great quality of life, i.e. happiness, which isn't always correlated with wealth or wealth with how we at least cognitively think of wealth. That is emotional intelligence. You see people that, understand people, and salespeople are the best at that, but an emotional level and an emotional no strings attached level, being able to just make someone smile. And that's why I'm always saying smile, because it's cliche that sound, it can really change someone's world.
I can't agree more. I think something I haven't mentioned yet is that my first trip away was actually with a charity, and it was dealing with the refugee crisis and the orphan crisis left behind by the Syrian war. Mm. So I was on the Syria-Turkey border on the Turkish side. And that, the fact that I was able to, or in a position to just give to somebody who had nothing. Now, as egotistic as it sounds, that was step one in just me realizing how much I could potentially do for the world. So, and then I went back to my suicide phase. I was just thinking about when I was trying to kill myself, and I realized if I had done that, all these people that I've helped right now, that I wouldn't be able to do that. And then I was just like, is this life really my own life when I have so much to give? It's too selfish for me. It would have been too selfish for me at that time to take my life. Just, I didn't know that I was, going to be out here or anything like that, but I was glad that suicidal attempt failed just so I could do what I was doing.
Wow.
And soon I became, the director of content for the charity, and then I just became more involved, and it was an uphill spiral from there, but it's travel really changed it, and I was able to give. I saw my own potential, and then I took steps to realize that potential, to give as much as possible whilst receiving then the psychological element of it for myself.
Shit. That was fucking deep, bro. That was really deep. My hands started shaking there. I really appreciate you opening up.
Not a problem, man.
You don't realize, I know for us, for people that are very outspoken, it just comes second nature, but this is something that we do have to take a moment and step back and appreciate how courageous it really is, whether that be you or whether that be me, because what you just said right there is something that people hide for decades and in fear.
The power of giving is phenomenally huge. When I remember being a child and handing some change to somebody who was homeless on my street, for example, don't you just feel amazing? I know it's egotistical, but at the end of the day,
if we were all egotistical like that, the world wouldn't be bad at all. Like if that was, if we were all sort of thinking that we're egotistical, acting that way, no one would be no one would be starving, bro. No one really would. So
that's the bottom line, bro. The impact of your action, for whatever reason you've done it. Yeah. I mean, I don't normally do it for me, but I receive that good feeling, and I know I'm going to receive that feeling. So you're doing it for the person. You know that you know, full stop. But you also know that it's going to make you feel better. It will give you more strength to do it again, to keep doing it again. It just puts you in a positive mindset. And I know everybody listening to this will know the feeling of giving something to someone homeless and just feeling positive about it.
Yeah.
And so you just take that same formula and apply it on a bigger scale, get involved in a charity project or something like that. And you just have so much more strength for the next few months, no matter how dark the place you are is in. I mean, the Syria conflict was absolutely horrible. You know, we saw some really horrible things. But, and you know, I was saddened by it, but I had strength to continue, and I did continue. Strength that I didn't have when I was depressed. It was, you know, a new found kind of motivation for me.
Yeah, I look, when I went to get me out of my state that I was in, I had to help people out. And I think that step one of getting out of a current really bad state that you're in is helping someone out. And helping someone out when you think you're the one that needed the most. That itself is extremely empowering.
Man, and what you just said is amazing, by the way. Exactly what you just said is really crazy, because it kind of makes you realize that you are as important as, like, we are. I get that, but it makes you realize how insignificant you are.
Exactly.
And then simultaneously how significant you are as well.
Exactly.
But your insignificance takes away a lot of arrogance. It takes away a lot of me. I need to be happy. I need to feed myself. That comes as a secondary output to you giving, to you making yourself insignificant.
Yeah. But more so, it teaches you empathy. And that's something that I try to drill deep into everything I do, because I think that the only reason why we are where we're at in this world, at least millennials, is that we're all trying to, you know, we're living in this hustle, kill it nature, but we aren't taking a step back and realizing that we're human beings and that our souls have rights. You know, our bodies have, they're not just machines. They don't, you know, I know the information age is crazy. I know you have to be doing that. I know, like, five lines of, you know, scholarships of resumes aren't enough to get you that dream job, but people don't understand that.
100%. I mean, whether you believe in God or whether you believe in you know, nature, kind of, you know, the Big Bang Theory or any, whatever you believe in, look at the intricacies of your body.
Exactly. Okay?
A million things happening at the same time. If one of them stops, you're dead. You will drop dead right now. You were not created this beautifully and perfectly, right, to work a 9-to-5 and die.
Exactly.
That, like, that's just, it's a fact. You're too amazing to be created for that purpose. I can't tell you what your purpose is, but I can tell you that a 9-to-5 is not your purpose. That machine living is just not what we were designed so beautifully and intricately to do.
I can tell you that being depressed or being very low in your life is just a sign that you haven't found that purpose yet. And that yet part is what people need to understand, because I think once you find that, you become who you are and you become who I am. People that are on the right path and people that are actively searching and that are actively curiously becoming, you know, finding out more of who they are. Because I think the whole sort of turning point is that curiosity point, you know, when you realize, oh wow, I like that. Let me do more of that. Let me go research, because that just breaks state your depression. Depression is the completely opposite state of being. It's like, I don't want to do something, right?
And yeah,
It's insane.
I was just
going to
say, like, travel plays a big part in that, because how do you find? I mean, a lot of people sit there and wait for their purpose to come to them. It's nobody's born with a purpose, man. Like, that's how insignificant we are. Like, no one's born to do certain things. Like, Steve Jobs, take him for an example, as to, you know, as someone who's impacted the world. He wasn't born with that destiny, or like, he wasn't born like thinking, I need to change the world or anything like that. He went out, he did like his travel, he went out and like learned things, met people, and then developed this technology that changed the entire world. I mean, we're talking right now because of that man.
I know, of course.
And he's just a normal man. He didn't have an exceptionally high IQ. I mean, probably you sound smarter than he does in a lot of his speeches. He was just a determined guy, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't exceptionally smart. He was a normal person, just like us. And that just goes to show the potential of a human being.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk about, Kiss, before we wrap this up, social media. I think people need to hear your take on social media and how you regulate it. What do you think is, how do we use it right? How?
What was the question?
Social media and its role on our mental health. How do we, how do we not let it consume us? Because I think that's what a lot of people nowadays struggle with. Comparison, yeah. Social media, it really robs our sense of life in a way, you know, when you have...
Of course.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, my take on it is social media is absolutely brilliant, right? I'm saying this just because, you know, my entire business is built on it. I learn new things from it. It allows me to connect with people on the other side of the world and, you know, instantly. So there are massive benefits, but... Just like marijuana, for example, something that is so commonly used here in California, where I am now, but that can also devour your life. Not it won't like make you kill yourself or anything like that, but it can really, you know, numb your senses, etc. But people here are taught about it. So in my syllabus, and I'm pretty sure in this new millennial syllabus across the world, educational syllabus, there is no information on social media. There are no, the dangers aren't reiterated as much. I think it goes hand in hand with the mental health side of things as well. Like there's no implication for that within the syllabus.
Nothing at all.
Children aren't taught about themselves, about their own psychologies. So once you kind of do that, and you know, I think with me personally, it was my self-confidence increasing that reduced my time on social media. Because I looked for compliments, I looked for people complimenting my work, etc., on social media before, whereas now I don't. I have that self-confidence in myself, and now it's just an appreciative tool. Like, people appreciate my work, I'll share it.
I think that's what
I think it's all down to what you look for on social media, and unfortunately, with anything, we have to be taught the right way to do something. We have to be taught by someone, by a governing body, how to do something correctly and not damagingly. Like, you know,
and who do you think would be responsible for that putting that curriculum?
I think it would be the state education systems. To be honest, I think the state education in every single state in the world is failing. The people. And right now, it's only the people that deviate from the education system that become successful in terms of, you know, I'm talking global success. It's only if you move away from what you're taught that you really end. I mean, you look at all these photographers, Jacob, for example. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Now, yeah, of course.
Like, I saw in his story a few times, like, he went to uni, he didn't really enjoy it and stuff, then just did his own thing. So, and I think that's the case with most of these, like, successful content creators, let's say, or even businessmen. Steve Jobs did the same thing. Bill Gates did the same thing.
Yeah.
They all deviated from the education system that they were put into. And that is one of the keys to their success. I think reforming the education system will just change the world. But then, is it really in the best interest of global powers to have the world a peaceful place? Like, so it's just kind of... Now we're getting a bit politically deep.
I know. But we're just gonna go back to our point that peak performance is driven by mental health. Full stop. Because I do believe, and I strictly do believe, all that you've said can be wrapped up in one simple phrase, is that your struggles make you exactly who you are and teach you more about yourself than had you not had them. And that's really why we're trying to push the boundary, or how we're trying to push the boundary with mental health, because while people are trying to, you know, avoid it, we'd want people to embrace it. We want people to embrace, you know, their struggles, and we want people to know that this is part of their story, and whatever way you want to deal with it, whether you sort of took your own route, and really didn't give a damn shit about the conventional ways, other people could take the conventional ways, but there's no right or wrong answer. There's no one key for all.
Absolutely.
But I think knowing that it's all right, knowing that this is where you gotta be at, knowing the self-acceptance part.
I would push that and say, more than it's just all right, knowing it's a blessing. If I had not been through the struggles I'd been through, I would not be sat here right now in LA appreciating the view. Like, I would not be here. Yeah. It was only my struggles that showed me my strengths. Even though I wasn't consciously thinking about them, I was growing every time I had a struggle. Every single negative thing had a positive impact on my life. Really, if I break it down to who I am today and why I have the certain characteristics and strengths that I have, it was the dark times that brought me here. So I can't be anything but appreciative for everything bad that happened to me, because I'm living a good life now.
And what's one last thing you would tell someone in hindsight?
I would just tell them to love their history. A lot of people have been through such dark things. They're strong, they're alive, they're resilient. love what happened to you because it made you you, and you are like so special if you want to be like you. You know, you have the potential to do so much.
is there one thing that you've done? I can definitely relate to that. Is there one thing that you've done would be sort of quirky that you haven't really shared in terms of? Well, you obviously sound like someone who loves themselves in a way that is healthy and in a way that gives you meaning. How can you sort of spill that onto someone that perhaps might need that listening?
I don't think I can, other than, I can't tell anyone everything's going to be all right or anything like that. I can tell them with 100% confidence in what I'm saying is that they have the potential to change the world.
Yeah. Yes, I do agree that. With an internet cable, you do.
You know, if they really maximize themselves, but they don't change the world. Yeah, they have the potential to do something great. Mm. Every single person has that ability within them. I wish that sometimes you could show them what they are capable of, like actually take them into the future and say, you did this.
I think that's what we're doing. We just have to lead by example. I was on a podcast today with another friend of mine, and I was asked, why are you doing what you're doing? Because really, when I come to think of it, when I went through my fair share, like, I wish that there was someone, that there was a male figure out there that had went through that, publicly spoken about it, and had become an ambassador, and someone that I could look up to and feel like I'm a man. I'm like, I have not lost my masculinity in my process.
Yeah.
And that is exactly who I'm being. So at the end of the day, just to wrap what you've just said,
you're doing an amazing job of that, by the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Honestly, like, even though I'm not in that dark space right now, I'm still inspired by every time I see you post, every kind of poll you do. I'm happy that I found you online. I'm happy that, like, we connected. Honestly, like, it's a blessing for me. So keep doing what you're doing, bro. And if I can help in any way in the future, you just let me know.
No, thank you so much, man. It means a lot. And it's not, again, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the impact that me and you suddenly one day realize that we can have on the world. And again, I want to be a global mental health ambassador and really, really, really break boundaries and make sure that men know what true masculinity is, because I think that the issues that we're facing around the world is lack of empathy and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
The more we understand each other, the more we know we can connect, and the more we can connect, you know, being depressed is being disconnected with yourself. So the more we can connect, the more we can love, the more we can really live. So with that note,
Yeah, that's a great outro, bro. That's a beautiful outro.
Oh my god, that was I didn't intend for that, man. But thank you so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure, man. It was my pleasure.
You really, really, really nailed that. Thank you so much, Kes. Thank you.
No problem, bro. All right, bro.
All right, snap.
Make sure to subscribe to the Empower newsletter to get the latest news about our exclusive guests on the show, new publications, and articles every Friday.